Welcome again to Legacy City Church. If you're here for the first time, happy you guys are here with us today. And if you've shown up today and maybe didn't know exactly what's going on, you came on the right day because, number one, we're celebrating our one-year anniversary. Is this awesome or what? Celebrating 1 year. And second, we got free food for everybody afterwards, so don't worry. You're like, I'm hungry already. Maybe I shouldn't have told you that. But we got free food. I think we've tried to put together some ice cream too and all that. So we're just gonna celebrate and party all that the Lord has done and just enjoy a time of fellowship together. But thanks for bearing out in the heat. We tried to make it so that you guys are in the shade and I'll endure the sun. I should have put sunscreen on my forehead. I'm sure my head will be scorched by the end of the sermon here. No, but we kind of tightened the service up a little bit today, and so that we can enjoy this time together of fellowship and just celebrating all that God has done. I titled the message that today, Look What the Lord Has Done. Look What the Lord Has Done. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 1 if you have your Bible. Psalm chapter 1. Before we get there, I'd just like to talk a little bit about what has happened here in our last year. You know, the Lord is working in the details in ways that sometimes we don't see, we don't understand, we don't know. And sometimes you say, Lord, are you there? Are you working? What are you up to? And He works in the most mysterious of ways. Trust me, when the prophet writes, His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. I'm telling you, it is true. I have my plans. I have my ways. I have the way that I think things should go. And I even like to try to tell God somehow how I think. Lord, I know what you're going to do. See, you're going to work this way and you're going to accomplish that. And this thing's going to work this way. And oh, I'm in need. And so this is what's going to happen to take care of me. And oh, that problem happened. So you got a way of changing things and pulling it around this way. And the Lord says, no, I have far greater ways of doing it, far greater abilities. Heard of a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. Maybe you've heard about this story. Yeah, every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy would hear her. He thought to himself, sure, this lady is crazy praying all the time like that. She doesn't even know if there's a God. Many times while she would pray, he would go to her house saying, lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know that God doesn't hear you? But she kept on praying. He says, there is no God. One day she ran out of groceries and she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking the Lord for all that He was going to do. Lord, please help me. I'm in need. As usual, the atheist hears her praying and thought to himself, I'm going to fix her. I'm going to get her this time. He went to the grocery store and bought her a bunch of groceries and took them to her house and dropped them off on the front porch when she wasn't there, when he knew that she was inside. And he rang the doorbell, hid in the bushes, ran off to see what would happen. When she opened the door, she saw the groceries and started praising the Lord with all of her heart, jumping and singing and shouting everywhere. The atheist jumped out of the bushes and told her, see, you crazy lady, God didn't buy those for you. I bought those groceries. Gotcha. Well, she broke down and started running and dancing in the street and shouting, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is mighty and awesome and powerful. He's like, what are you doing that for? She said, I know the Lord would provide for me with some groceries, but I didn't know He would make the devil do it. The Lord has His ways in doing things. And I'm telling you that as much as you want to project and figure out, that's what we were trying to do with the church. I look back a year, and the 21st is our year. That's tomorrow. That's the exact date. We figured this Sunday was appropriate. But you know, there are many doubts before planting a church and coming to LA. You know what some of the doubts were? Lord, is anybody going to show up? What if we remain a church of 20 people for 2 or 3 years? Lord, will we remain faithful even till the end? What if the bills aren't paid? What if we can't pay the rent? What are we going to do? You know, you struggle sometimes to pay your own rent, or you wonder where money's going to come from. Think about planting a church and just hoping and believing that God's going to somehow provide. You want to create all these safety nets for your own life. My wife and I, we sold our house, and we figured that would be kind of a safety net to pay the bills if it didn't work out, if there wasn't enough money coming in. And then, well how are we going to live? You know, am I willing to get a job and work an average Joe job here in LA just to make it by and to make it happen? All those doubts. Is anybody going to come? Who's going to be faithful? How is this all going to work? Who's going to set up chairs? You know, am I going to be doing this by myself, my wife and I? What is going to happen? How does this work? I'm telling you, it doesn't just spring up out of nowhere. God has to actually do this kind of work. He has to speak to a lot of people. And he has to do, number one, he has to command people and put conviction in their heart for some reason to invest in something that you are believing in. And I'm telling you, that is a very radical thing for me. When I saw people take steps of faith and say, you know, start believing, and many times, maybe when I was doubting, believing greater than I was believing. And I look at them like, you believe in this more than I do. They don't know I'm thinking that, but I see it in their eyes. They are making the step. They are going after it, and it's inspiring me like, what? Lord, look at the faith of these people. They're believing in it. I should probably believe more. And before you know it, all this stuff just starts to happen. I mean, it's really crazy. I mean, again, before the launch, getting everything in order, then the launch happened. You know, we had 600 people on our first day when Pastor Greg Laurie showed up, my pastor, and helped us plant the church. And then we had 200 the next week, and then we had 150, and then we had, you know, about 120, and then we had about 100, and then we had about 8. I think we got down to about 80 people probably in our lowest attendance. And now we have upwards of 140 to 160 people attending every single week. Is that the Lord or what? Trust me, I do not want to explode at the seams with numbers. I don't think that that's healthy for a church. I think it is healthy that we add to the church daily, that people come to know Christ. We grow very healthy. And if 1,000 people showed up right now, we'd be in trouble. Because who's going to shepherd all those people? Me? Have a hard enough time just shepherding now and trying to make this work. And so we need to grow slowly, and we need to grow a nice, large platform and foundation. And as the platform and the foundation grows of the church, then it will increase in number at a healthy rate where people are getting grounded in their faith, growing in the Word. I would far rather the 500 people who love the Word of God, who live for Christ, who are devoted to Him and would die for Him, giving up their lives for Him, than 10,000 people who don't know the Word of God, who aren't full out for Christ, just messing around in their walks and making Christianity look like a terrible faith. I want a healthy church. It's my responsibility to make sure we have a healthy church. I want to bless the Lord for a lot of things, okay? So bear with me on this. I just want you to see what the Lord has done in just 12 months. First, I want to bless the Lord for my wife. Amen. We can clap for her. Thank you, babe. It's not easy being a pastor's wife, and if you're not a pastor's wife, then you don't know. So I don't even expect you to try to understand, but the pressures not only of working a job, but also taking care of the house and then also trying to take care of me. That's a chore 10 times in and of itself. Me dragging her on all the ministry opportunities and things that I got to do, and her being patient and waiting and doing all this kind of stuff. A lot of people don't get it, don't understand, but the pressure, she carries all the pressure that I carry as well. And so you ladies take the pressure of your own life and the circumstances that you have, and then try to throw the pressures and the worries of a church. That's very stressful, and a lot of you do understand high levels of stress and sacrifice, and maybe you slightly understand what I'm talking about. But I do want to bless my wife and bless the Lord for her commitment to this as much as you would say, well, Josh, you've done a great job. Not really. My wife has done a great job keeping the house a restful and peaceful place so that I can minister to the people. If everything's chaotic in my life and my marriage and at home, I can't minister and I can't do the work. And so please pray for us continually. The Lord has done such a great work, and I don't believe I could do it without my wife. I don't know if you know this. One of the great reasons I was forced and pressured to step out and start a church is because my wife kept sharing with me the passage of Abraham where the Lord told him he left going out, pursuing a land that he didn't know. He left his city. He left his land, going out for the Lord to a place that he did not know. And she'd say, Abraham did it. Why don't you have the faith to do these types of things? And praise God for my wife. I'm very thankful for her. And, I was talking with Brian about this yesterday. You know, I would really love to list off every single person's name who has dedicated their life and poured out so much of their life to this church. And I know ultimately that it is all for God and all for His glory. And I have the risk of not mentioning every single person. And so I'm very, very careful. I don't want to do that. And so what I want to do is that you all know who you are, and I just want to list off all the ministries and things that I have seen happen, and you guys have done it at such great capacities, and so I just want to say thank you to everyone and for allowing the Lord to inspire and empower you to dig in and dive into the church and invest all that's happened. But do you know what's happened? You're like, yeah, Sundays happen. Oh no, you have no idea. This is what happens. First, we have made it through the book of Acts in 1 year, 28 chapters. We studied every single verse of the book of Acts in the Bible together as a church. Legacy's Compass, as I shared, we just finished 260 chapters and reading a chapter a day of devotion in the New Testament. We have launched 8 community groups. 8 community groups. We fast and pray once a month on the first Monday of the month. We call it war, waging a revolution, praying for our city, praying for the church. We have something called prayer break, where we're reminded during the week to take a break and pray. That goes out through social media and our reminders on our devices. We have a worship team. I mean, that's a big deal, okay? I don't know if you've been to a church in its first year, but you normally don't see a full-fledged worship team operating and functioning, and we have fantastic music, and we have people who are faithful and disciplined to make it happen, and we're having our second worship auditions in a matter of a year. I cannot even believe it. We have a setup and teardown team that works so hard to make all of this happen. If you have never been a part of the setup and teardown team and you come and enjoy this each and every week, I'm telling you, you should be so grateful in your heart because somebody in the heat today set up all this for you so that you can come and worship in a comfortable manner, to sit in a chair and not have to show up and do those things. And afterwards, you know what they do? This doesn't all just go away like I say, abracadabra, and it's gone. They actually stay hours afterwards and break the whole thing down. Amazing. No, I'm thankful. Thank you. You can clap for that. We're going to have one giant clap for everyone at the end, and it's ultimately going to be for the Lord, but please bear with me here. You got to know what happens in this church. You know, I have people who clean the school. We have ladies who dedicate their time, who scrub the toilets for you, and who get in there and mop the floors to make sure, because this is a school, high school. You think the high school kids clean this thing? Oh, no. They dirty it up for us, and then we clean. So we have a team who gets in here and cleans this thing every single week, mopping the floors and readying it for service. We have people who do our sound. Thank you, the team in the back, getting all this dialed in, set up. Lyrics, making sure you can worship. We had a lady tell me today, do you have, lyrics, on paper? We didn't get to pull that off because we can't set it up outside, but we have people who prepare. You know, it takes time to prepare lyrics. It doesn't just happen. The sound, making it, getting it dialed. The sound system was given to us, and we had no idea how to use it. I mean, we're talking, this sound system is worth somewhere between 50 and 80 grand, and we barely know how to turn the thing on. Like, you know what? How do you do it? It's like a Ferrari, It's like, how do you drive it? And the team has worked super hard to get it dialed in as we have today and get it set up each and every week. We have ushers and greeters that come in and show up and welcome you and work hard to make sure you are greeted and feel welcome here each and every week. We have communion every single Sunday. You know, that doesn't magically appear. Somebody has to actually put the juice in every single cup, break up the bread. They're like, do they use gloves? Yes, don't worry. Yeah, set up tables and the tablecloth. I mean, it doesn't just look this way every week. We don't have a church. Do you see that? The church is the people. We don't have a building. We set this up every single week and make it happen. Hospitality. We have a huge hospitality team that works hard at giving you some nice treats and coffee and making everything look nice and presentable and making you feel welcome so that when you come here, you're greeted and given a hug or come on and sit down. We are actually making effort to make you feel welcome. We want everybody in this church to feel welcome. I don't care what you where you came from, what your background is. We want everyone to feel at home and a part of the family in this place. And we have a team set aside that works hard to do that every week. You know, there's a parking lot team to make sure that the cars are parked and everybody feels comfortable out there. And somebody has to stand out there in the sun every week to make you feel comfortable. Isn't that wonderful? We have people working hard. Children's ministry. Praise God for our children's ministry. Raising and taking care of the kids. Who wants to take care of the children? Some ladies are just like, yeah, that's my thing. Other people are like, get them away from me. I'm happy I get to drop them off for a couple hours and have some peace and quiet. You should praise God for Bonnie and the ladies in there and everyone who goes after it because, man, we're blessed to have them. Amen. How do you have we have a little like group that watches children, but to have a children's ministry in less than a year that actually functions and works and takes care of the kids, amazing. We have a security team as well that watches after us here. You shouldn't see them. You shouldn't know who they are. You just kind of, they're taking care of us. They're walking around checking the facility while service is going on to make sure the kids are safe, to make sure this facility is safe, to make sure we can worship the Lord, not have to worry about that kind of stuff. Very thankful for that. We have a website that is absolutely amazing. Rob, man, my numbers, man, I got to pull these up. This is going to blow your mind. That's why you got to hear it. Number one, how many people do you think would visit a website? Unique people, individual people on the earth would visit a church website in 1 year. Unique people, never visited before. This isn't repeats, this is an individual person that just keeps showing, that has shown up for the first time. We had over 17,000 people, 17,600 people show up and click on the website. Check this out. Our website has been viewed and visited over 72,000 times this year. Can you believe that? We sent out over 56,000 emails to people who are inquiring information, wanting to know what's going on here at the church. That's a miracle, okay? You can't make that happen. I mean, we don't have funds. We don't have stuff to pour into this. This is happening all on volunteer work, people who are pouring their lives into it. Part of that is social media. Have you been on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? All that stuff is dialed and working. And I talked with a lady this last week who had told us that part of the Hollywood Entertainment Network, they have 16 ministries here in the Hollywood area that minister to people in entertainment. And she wanted to put our church website on their website because we're media friendly. And that means, let me take it a step further, not only social media website, but our video. You know, we have somebody volunteering who uses his own equipment, edits the video every single week. All those video updates that you get, all that stuff happens each and every week because someone is pouring their life into it. We're so blessed, man. Sermons go up every week. A documentary was put together. We have video updates. I mean, this just blows my mind. There are people behind the scenes that have the database for our church. This is getting into some family talk here, but you want to hear? When a church comes together, you know, we're in technology time and there's a lot of things that have to be keep track of. And there's accounting behind the scenes and there's people that are working hard to keep a database together for us. Because what happens is when you grow too large and you haven't done it right in the beginning, it is a big mess because this ministry pops up and that event and this thing. You got names here, names there, names here, names there, names there. And you try to put all these together and you're like, this is a big mess. So we have people dedicating hours upon hours of time to make sure this is all organized from the backside so this church will function very well in the future with technology, and it will actually be a database that the church members can access to be able to minister, encourage, and fellowship with one another. Unreal. Our youth group. We have a youth group. Did you know that? It's taking place Friday nights. Yeah. This is our youth team right here. And we have lives being changed on Friday night in Sherman Oaks, and a great ministry happening each and every week. They call themselves the remnant. The remnant, the last. Those worshiping the Lord. And that is happening. We have faithful people loving and serving the young people each and every week. And it is growing in discipleship. And I am so thankful. You know, we have a prayer team that prays for our church service every single Sunday morning. Yeah, they already prayed for us this morning. They prayed for you that people would come close to God, draw close to Him. You know, we baptized 14 people this year as well. We had only one baptism that we were able to pull off, and we baptized 14 people in one setting. We've been on the radio 4 times with KKLA. Maybe you've heard the story. I was at Panda Express, and I ran into Frank Sontag, and before you know it, Panda, right? I'm at the Chinese food place getting my bowl, you know, and... Yeah, orange chicken. Thank you, babe. And teriyaki. And anyways, so we're on the radio. We have a weekly commercial that happens every week that is drawing people in. Maybe you've heard about us on there. The barbecues that happen every week. People are barbecuing. People are taking care of making it happen. We went door knocking here in this area a few times. Blanketed the whole area. People giving their time. We went to a Dodgers game, right? As a church, I had to support. Good fellowship time. We went to Harvest Crusade and supported this year. This is a special announcement. We have started Legacy City Academy, and I'm not joking. This is a school, a future school that we're developing. It's at a homeschool level. If you homeschool a family, or if you know of someone who homeschools and needs a covering, that's what we do. We're opening up, and we're starting to build that out. We hope to have both in classroom schooling and also homeschooling in the future, then eventually a full school built out so that we can raise a legacy of children who love and serve Christ and who are taught at the highest level, educated at the highest level. Missions to Malawi. Hello. We got to support some of our missionaries in Malawi, now in Mexico. We installed carpet in the gym, praise God. We installed air conditioning, a projector, a screen. All that stuff works, praise God. We have been able to purchase every single thing that we need for the church, and that is the Lord. I am so thankful. We have chairs to sit in. That's a blessing because it costs a lot of money. And we have been able to purchase everything for the children's ministry, for the worship team, for everything that happens that you see. We have given over 50 Bibles out for free this year to people who walk in the church. I have had over 100 coffee meetings with people here in the church this last year. The rent is paid, praise God. Can I praise God for that? That's a good thing. You have no idea the stress that that can bring on a person, but praise God, we are able to continue to bless this school. They have been a blessing to us. And I want to thank all of you, you've been extremely generous, believing in the kingdom and believing in this church and making it happen. So I just want to praise God for all of that. Now we can bless the Lord together. Can we just bless the Lord and say thank you? Thank you, Lord. Can I pray and bless the Lord? Father, thank you. Look what the Lord has done. Look what you have done, Father. We are just instruments in your hands. This is not me. This is not my church. This is yours. This is not our glory. This is yours. You have inspired. You have challenged. You have convicted. You have ministered and built people to pursue you. And I thank you for everyone involved. And I pray, Lord, that this next year we would see even more dedicated, involved, building your kingdom, drawing close to you. Bless your church. Thank you for what you're doing. All glory, praise, and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is just the beginning. This has all happened in 1 year. And we hope to be here 40, 50, 60 years. I told my wife we will probably die here in the city. In 60 years, I'll be 93. No teeth. Still bald. And just a lot more wrinkles. I want to read to you something that the Spanish explorer Hernan Cortez did back in 1519. He set sail for Mexico with an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, 553 soldiers. There were 5 million people on the island, indigenous tribes on the island, and he was going to try to come and take over the island. Now watch this. He had 500 soldiers, and there were 5 million people on the island, and he was coming to conquer this territory. Now, this is crazy. It was a 7,541-1 ratio. People would have said, don't do it. This is crazy. But you know what happened when he pulled up on the shore? His tactic, when he pulled up on the shore with his ships, and his men got off the ships, and there they are on their steeds, swords in hand, they were ready to attack this territory and take over, attack and fight 5 million. With only 500, you know what happened? He told his leaders to burn the ships. And so they set fire to the ships in the waters, and the ships burnt to the ground. And there Hernan Cortez stood there on the shore with his men and said, we're dying here. We will die, or we will conquer this place. They burnt the ships and they charged, and he took over the territory. There was no plan B. And I am telling you, sometimes in our lives, we need to get focused in such a way where there is no plan B. And that is exactly how we tried to focus on the planting of this church. There is no plan B. We're selling all that we have. We are moving out here, and we are going to be here. And sink or swim, we're going to die out here no matter what. We trust the Lord, but we don't like to take risks. But I want to tell you, you can take risks if you have deep roots in your life. I'm going to go through something I'm calling the root series. The roots, yeah, look at these trees. You know that the root system under these trees, for many of them, are larger than the trees themselves. If you ever look at a picture of a tree on top and then you look at the way it grafts out, I've heard it said that the leaves can only go out as far as the roots. I believe my grandma taught me that if we cut back the trees here, then the roots would actually not grow out and take over the territory around. And so if you have a house and you don't like it uprooting your sidewalk, just cut back the hedges there and it will cut back or bring back the roots. It needs to branch out. But what's happening is there's a lot happening in the root system. And if we don't have roots that go deep, we can't take risks. We won't be able to face storms. We won't be able to get through anything. Let me say this phrase. The root series, listen, the deeper the roots, the greater the fruit. The deeper the roots, the greater the fruit on the tree. The deeper your roots go down, the greater mass production of fruit you will see on a tree and in your life. Roots do a couple things. They absorb water and nutrients. They anchor the plant or the tree. They also store food and nutrients for the tree. We are to have certain things in our lives that never change. Church, listen up, please. Don't miss this. There are a lot of things in your life that will change, but there are certain things that are never to change ever. There are specific roots in your life that are to go so deep that they remain the same roots in your life. And these roots just keep growing deeper and deeper as life goes on and you produce more and more fruit. You have to have those constants in your life if you want to sustain long term. If you keep uprooting a plant, what happens to it? It dies. You cannot keep doing that. We must plant deeply. Stay consistent. As you do so, there will be more and more fruit. I want to talk about two things. We won't talk about the second one today. Number one, we're going to talk about the roots in our lives individually. Next week, we're going to talk about the roots of the church. Things in the church that will never change. You're old-fashioned. Okay. You keep doing it the same way they've been doing it for thousands of years. That's probably a good thing. You think we figure out a new wheel? The wheel doesn't need to be changed. We're still driving on it. Does a fantastic job. Maybe some newer models, but man, should we change that? Certain things that should never change. I want more than anything the roots of your life to go very, 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 very deep. Because you know what happens? If you don't have deep roots in your spiritual walk and in your life, when the storm comes, it just knocks your tree over. When the storms and trials and tribulations and hardship of life come, you just get blown over. You got no roots. How do we get deep roots, and which ones are the best? We're going to look at individually what is the best for us. We're going to look at that right now. And number two, we're going to look at what the roots are for the church that sustain us 40, 50 years, 60 years. I don't want this church to go away in a year. How do we project long term? How do we project long term for your Christian life? Let me ask you this. Are you going to be a Christian walking with God in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, in 40 years, in 50 years? You say, yeah, of course I am. Then why are there so many Christians that say that yet no longer follow the Lord anymore? It's because their roots are very shallow. When hardship comes, when sin comes, when difficulty comes, they just turn away. They don't understand what the roots are. Can we look at a tree in the Bible? Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to go through it very quickly here. If you already turned there, fantastic. Listen to this. Blessed is the man. Would you say blessed is the man, please? Blessed is the man. One more time, please. Blessed is the man. Please, one more time. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. And I would say this person is a believer. And so if the church is people and believers, then blessed is the church. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Blessed are the people. Blessed is the church who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Quickly, listen. What does the word blessed mean? Do you know? You say, bless you. God bless you. Man, you're blessed. What does blessed mean? It means happy. Happy is the person. Joyful is the person who, here you go, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what that means? You don't listen to the philosophies of the world. You listen to God. Don't do it. You want to be happy. You want to be blessed. You want to have joy. Listen to God, not the world. Number two, who stands in the path of sinners. Blessed is a man who does not stand in the path of sinners. You get out of the way of sinners. You walk away from them. Do not have people around you who are helping you to sin. Check that out. Here we go. Little high school game here. You become the people you hang around. You hang out with sinners, you're probably going to sin. You hang out with losers, you're probably going to be a loser. You hang out with millionaires, you might just be a millionaire. And you hang out with Christians, and you'll probably live out the Christian life. Do not stand in the path of sinners. It doesn't mean you can't have friendships in the world, that's fine. But be careful, you become the people you hang around. Who are your role models? Who do you want to become like? Hang around godly people. Stand the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? Sitting in the seat of the arrogant, of the proud. You do not want to be around proud, arrogant people. Who likes those people anyways? Now, don't confuse confidence with arrogance, right? Confidence is a good thing. Arrogance is just the lamest thing ever. You know what I'm talking about? That person who comes by, they just think they're the baddest thing since sliced bread, right? Like, do you know who I am? Yeah, okay. Man, it's just extremely arrogant and prideful. Again, don't confuse confidence with being prideful and arrogant. We should be confident, but we should be humble people, serving and loving people here in this city. And don't we love those humble, servant, loving type people? They're the best, man. People who come over and like demean you and put you down, you're just like, dude, get out of here. I ain't got time for that. But we love people who are humble and who serve. Blessed is the man who does those things. His delight, the reason why he's blessed is because his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. Would you say the word meditate? Meditate. One more time. Meditate. You know what meditate means? It's the picture of a cow chewing the cud. Remember? The cow picks up some grass and starts chewing and chewing and chewing. You're like, are you going to swallow that? He's like, no. Chewing. And then he swallows. And then I've heard it said they have like, I don't know how many stomachs, like seven stomachs or something like that, and they can throw it back up and chew on it some more. Oh, it's so wonderful as we go into eating tacos. Now, meditate. Meditate, to dwell on, to focus on, to chew, to focus, to engage, to understand, to meditate. Blessed is the man who meditates on the Lord day and night. He shall be like a what? Tree. He shall be like a tree A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, its leaves never wither, and whatever he, she, the church does prospers. You want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? Don't listen to the world. Listen to God. Meditate on his word. I want to give you four roots, the four roots that you need. You ready? Four roots that never change. If you're taking notes, you can pull out your little iPhone, you click the little note button, and you can start typing those babies in right now. This should never change in your life. These are roots that will grow you to be a tree. That oak, how does grandma and grandpa just be those oak trees, just solid in their faith? Nothing can sideswipe them and knock them over. They're just solid. You're like, oh no, this happened, the rent's due. And grandma's like, it's going to be okay. Oh no, this happened in life. Grandpa's like, stop worrying about it. Your God pulls through, he's faithful. How do you get that kind of solid faith like an oak tree? These four roots. Number one, root number one that must grow and deepen in your life is a prayer life. A prayer life. This never changes. It must be consistent. Oh, I know that, Pastor. Then why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? Well, come on, let's just add up this last week. How much time have you spent with your God? Well, 32 seconds at In and Out. 47 seconds at the Panda. When are we communing and talking with God? The gospel has saved us to commune with God. You can't come close to God because of sin. Did you know that? Sin cannot be in his presence because he's perfect and holy. So Jesus says, okay, I'll come down to the earth. I will die for your sins. Let's get the sin out of the way. Forgiven, forgotten, taken care of. Now come be my sons and daughters, God says. And you now have full access into his throne room. You can talk to him anytime you want. And you're like, I'll get to him later. Oh, Lord, I know we had an appointment today, but I got a bigger appointment. Really? Bigger appointment than God. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, in everything. What should I pray about, Pastor? Listen, everything. No, what should I talk to God about? Everything. Well, what about that situation over there? Should I even talk to him about it? I'm really ticked off at that person. Yes. What do you think everything means? It's a very interesting word in the Greek. It means everything. Everything. Pray and talk to him about everything. One of the coolest things I've been studying, I'm reading through a book called A Prayer Life this last week. And one of the coolest things that I saw in the book was that Jesus refers to God as his Father more than anything else. What an example. We are his children. We are God's children. He is our Father, and we are to come to him like children come to their dads. How do they do that? They walk up, Dad, can I have an ice cream? Sure. So come on, let's go get an ice cream, you know? Dad, what do you think about this? Can I do that? Okay, we're not doing that. Get away from that. Dad, what do you think? Childlike faith. Believing God for things, coming to him, persistent like a child. Are we there yet? 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 Right? Persistent. Can I have that? Lord, what do you think about this? Father, help me. We need to come to God like a father. Praying without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Charles Spurgeon said this, anything is a blessing that makes us pray. It is a good rule never to look into the face of man until the morning, until you have looked into the face of God first. Listen to this. Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the church. The reason I know you don't pray is because I have a hard time doing it as well. Seeking the Lord by myself in private prayer, in your car, in your closet, in your bedroom, on a walk, whatever it takes, get alone with God. Is that not what God has saved us to do? Sometimes we think, Charles Spurgeon says, we are too busy to pray. He says that is a great mistake, for praying is saving time. Praying is actually saving time in your day to make you more sharp and ready for your day. Root number two is meditation on God's word. Write it down, meditation of God's word. Psalm 19, listen to all the descriptions of the Word of God. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. You're like, I'm a simple guy. The Word of God will make you wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey on the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The Bible is worth more than all the gold in the universe. Did you know that? Right here. Precious gold sitting in your hands. All the wisdom you need is right here. You know that's sweeter than honey? Sweeter than honey. Honey's pretty sweet. This stuff tastes way better, okay? If you haven't done a nice latte with honey in it, I challenge you, okay? That's a bomb coffee right there. You want to take it a step further? This is better than that coffee. Why? Because your servant is warned, and in keeping of this word, meditating on it, there is great reward in your life. If you would just know this and apply it to your life, there would be great reward. You're missing out on so much because you don't know God's word. You got to study, meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, write it down. Study this book, the NLT says, of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. How do I live life? What should I do? What are the answers? I don't know where to go. I need wisdom on this. You come and you counsel with me. You sit down. Pastor, what should I do about this? I'm going to tell you a little secret. The counsel that I give you is what's in here. My secret is I just tell you what this says. Wow, you're so wise. Josh, how at a young age do you know so much? I don't. I just tell you what this says. You can know it too. It's written in plain English. It is not written in Latin so that you can't interpret it yourself. It's been written into plain English so you can understand it too. And I will help you to understand it. Meditate on it day and night. Church, more than anything, I just want you to read some of the Bible every day. You get that? Please, get it in you. It changes your mind and your heart about so many things. John Bunyan said this, sin will keep you out of this book, or this book will keep you out of sin. John Chrysostom, this is a church father, he said this, the source of all our troubles is not knowing the scriptures. Do you know that? You're like, I got this problem, that's happening, what about this, what about this? It is because you do not know this and are not applying it, me too. That's why I study it daily, to apply it to my life. J.I. Packer said this, if I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible. The devil's greatest plan is to get you away from this, because if you don't know this, he could trash your life, you got no roots, and you're just going to knock over and fall away from the faith. No longer a Christian anymore. Plan executed perfectly. Charles Spurgeon said, Bible study is the metal that makes a Christian. Your structure inside, the metal, the roots is the Bible. And Spurgeon says this, backsliders begin when dusty Bibles end with filthy garments. When our Bibles start getting dusty, that's when backsliding begins and we mess everything up. Root number one is what? Prayer. Root number two is the Bible. Root number three is fellowship. Being together with people, the people of God. Getting friends who are Christians, spending time with them. Hey, church, listen. Have you ever spent time with a godly person and afterwards you're just like, man, that was awesome. I love being with these people. They just lift me up. They build me up. It's good to be with Christians. Hebrews 10:25, do not neglect meeting together, as some do, but encourage one another, especially now as the day of the Lord is drawing near. J.I. Packer said this, fellowship with Christians is fellowship with God. I'm telling you, when you get together with God's people, something happens, and it's wonderful. That is another route that isn't to go away from your life. I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday. I'm talking about getting to know people who are Christians. Please, I hope that all of you have Christian friends in your life. And if you don't yet, I pray that you would have more come into your life. I pray God would supernaturally bring more people into your life to encourage you, to minister to you. I know you guys got all kinds of different jobs, all kinds of different situations. You need godly people around you to pray for you and encourage you. Fellowship is mandatory. Number four, the final root. Did you see how I did that? Wow, that's good. That was fast. I know. Praise God. Root number four and the final root. Wait, let's go through them again. Number one is what? Number two is what? Read the Bible. Number three is what? Fellowship. Fellowship. And number four is ministering the gospel. Ministering the gospel. Jesus gave his boys a final command before he left. Do you remember what he said in Matthew 28? Well, he said a final command in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But we're going to look at the Great Commission, verse 18 of Matthew 28 says, Jesus came and told his disciples. Is anybody a disciple or a follower of Christ here today? Listen up. This is for you. Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And you're like, I don't know if I can do that. And Jesus said, don't worry, I am with you to the end of the age to help you do it. We are to make disciples in this city. Really? Yes, you are to make disciples in your family, with your children, with your family members. You are to make disciples in your workplace. You are to make disciples of your friends. You are to make disciples of strangers, of your neighbors, wherever you're at in this city. You know what I hope will happen? Do you recognize the city that you're living in? Like, yeah. Kind of hate it. Wish I'd get out of this dump. Hold on. This city influences the entire world. What city do you know that actually does that? There are not many. This city influences the entire world. That's why I like to call it Rome. Because Rome, all roads led to Rome for centuries, and I feel like this is a modern day Rome where everything is happening. This is a melting pot of every tribe and nation, and there are so many different types of people and jobs, and this city is actually impacting the whole world in so many different ways, leading in fashion, leading in art, leading in music, leading in entertainment, TV, movies, leading on the internet, leading in really many business, a lot of ways. I know New York is right there doing a great job as well, but really influencing on so many levels. And watch this. Church, legacy, if you choose with me to disciple 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 people in your lifetime here in this city, we will change the face of this city and it will actually minister to the world. It starts with us choosing to disciple someone, minister the gospel to someone. And so when you walk around this city, I would encourage you to love and serve people. Help them. Minister to them. And when the opportunity comes, would you minister? Man, this keeps us on fire. You want to know why our Christianity grows dull every once in a while? It's because we stop ministering. We forget what this thing's all about. We internalize and start focusing on ourselves so much, we forget this about the kingdom of God and we are ministering to others. So again, the four roots that must go deep in our lives. If you do not want this tree to get knocked over in your life, if you want an anchor that's going to hold your boat in the storm, you have got to have these four roots in place. And watch this. Your prayer life should grow deeper. Your time in the Word should grow deeper. Your study of the Word, your fellowship should grow deeper, and your ministering to people should grow deeper over the decades. And I promise you, you will be like an oak tree. Say, like that big avocado tree as you drove in, massive, producing tons of fruit for the kingdom. And then you die and you go to heaven, and the Lord looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Excellent job. Thank you for building the kingdom. Do you see how if we keep these four roots in place, it will sustain the church long term? We are never to get away from these things. That was so basic, Pastor. Oh, and so needed, huh? So needed, because why aren't we doing it? If this happened, if we do all, if every single person here does all four roots with all of their heart, you know what that's called? Revival. And the whole city starts to change immediately. Until we do that, until we focus, what is the purpose of all of this? To draw close to our God.